plus years, I have advised applicants to grad school. In all cases and for all degrees, I encourage applicants to learn as much as possible about the programs they are applying to, both to ensure that the program is right for them and to increase the chances that they can make a compelling argument for acceptance. Now, MBA students, and law students for that matter, have the opportunity to attend various fairs as well as school receptions. And in just a moment, I'm going to interview the owner of an outstanding MBA tour program. Hello, I'm glad you can join me today for this segment of Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast about graduate admissions. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening in. Before we start the interview, I would like to mention two resources that will be of value to anyone attending the MBA Fair event. First, MBA Fairs, Advancing Your Ambitions. And then second, Best MBA Programs, A Guide to Selecting the Right One. Both are free downloads from Accepted, and I think the titles of each pretty much describes what's inside of them. And you can get to them from the show notes. They're linked to from our show notes, which will be at info.accepted.com/61, and I'm going to repeat that at the end of the show. For today's show, our 61st, I have invited Peter von Lessica to join us. Peter is the CEO and Managing Director of the MBA Tour. The MBA Tour's U.S. and Latin American tours take place in July and August, so it's a great time for you to register for those events, followed by additional events in Asia and India in September, Africa and the Middle East in October, and Canada in November. These events are marvelous opportunities for you to attend school information sessions, meet with school representatives as well as representatives of other MBA organizations, and learn about the MBA programs before you prepare an application. However, just as these events are opportunities for you to learn about the schools, they are also opportunities for the schools to interact with you and learn about you. As such, if your behavior reflects poorly on you, it can actually damage your chances of acceptance. And of course, if you arrive with no preparation, participating in an MBA tour can be a waste of time where you do nothing more than collect swag and glossy brochures that ultimately just collect dust before going up and ending up in a garbage pail. Peter is here today so that your fair participation is productive, informative, and an event that improves your chances of acceptance. Peter, thank you so much for joining me today on Admission Straight Talk. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Now, it's been a couple of years since our last podcast. You are a returning guest, I think the second one that that we've had. And can you share a little bit about the MBA Tours and origins, the MBA Tours origins and growth? Just how did you get into this?
I'd be happy to share our history and growth over the last 2 decades. The MBA Tour was founded in 1993 by a former employee of Arthur D. Little School of Management. And she started with the MBA Tour in Latin America with, I think, maybe eight to ten Boston-based schools, and went down there on a tour to recruit students. Since 1993, she expanded into other markets, including Asia and the Middle East. After 9/11, Middle East became a difficult region to travel with, so we focused primarily on Latin America and Asia. Since I've purchased the company, we have expanded into other markets quite aggressively. We have now a five-city tour of Canada, which we never had before. We go now to 9 cities in the U.S., which were never done. We are now going to Africa to 4 cities. I've expanded Southeast Asia and our footprint in India, and also across Latin America. We're looking at new markets there in the Caribbean Basin in the future.
Wow.
Late last year, we were approached by McKinsey & Company to organize an event under a brand name, which they started several years ago, actually probably more than several years ago, maybe as long as 15 years ago, called MBA to You in Europe. And we became the primary organizer for those events and had our first one in Brussels last year. And we're expanding that concept and format from Brussels this year to Munich as well.
And how is that different from your regular tour events?
The MBA TU events are very special in that only 26 schools right now are invited to participate. And we learned quite a bit on how to find students that are most qualified to participate in those events. And I think we've got two very good events planned for Brussels and Munich, given the types of schools that plan to participate.
Can you say which schools those are or not?
Yes, I can. I'd be happy to.
Okay.
In Brussels and Munich, Harvard Business School will be there. Stanford will be in Brussels. University of Chicago, Northwestern, Wharton will be, and MIT will be in both Brussels and Munich. INSEAD, ESA will be in both Munich and Brussels. And I believe Duke and Berkeley will be in both cities as well. And I'm still waiting for registration from other other schools. I have also invited on a very thoughtful basis some local schools that I think should take advantage of the local market for Brussels and Munich. So in Munich we'll have four schools, probably four, at least three have signed up so far. That's WHU, ESMT, and a third school called HHL, which is located in Leipzig, and then Vlerick will participate in Brussels.
Got it. So this is basically a program for, well, you said McKinsey was involved. Is the idea here that these would be the schools where McKinsey would be recruiting from?
That's correct. They would be recruiting from them, and they would also be looking at candidates to sponsor.
Wow.
So McKinsey is actually a official corporate sponsor of the Brussels event, and we are looking for a corporate sponsor for the Munich event.
But if I understood you correctly, they may be interested in actually sponsoring European candidates to some of these schools, even if they're not currently employed at McKinsey.
Eventually.
No. I mean prior to business school.
Yes. Yeah, there are probably some McKinsey candidates that will be attending these events.
Yeah,
absolutely. And those candidates would be sponsored.
Got it. That's quite an opportunity. That is really fantastic.
Yes, I'm very honored to be participating in this.
Yeah, I had no idea. I was wondering why Europe wasn't represented, but I mean, this sounds like, you know, in some respects, well, like you say, it's an honor also. So I guess this is part of, I was going to ask you what's new at the NBA Tour this year, but this is part of it, right?
This is part of it, absolutely.
Yeah. What about some new locations or new elements within the tour events?
Well, one of the most significant elements within an event, and that's a good question to raise, is that we have many schools that have purchased an option called Meetup, where they invite students to meet with them. And if you are a student and have been chosen or receive an invitation, it is actually an opportunity for you to meet with school representatives in small groups. Now, not every school is doing this, but it's actually a good chance for you to practice or actually take advantage of an entree to a school that not every candidate may receive. And if you look at a school presentation from the same school that has invited you to a meetup, my recommendation is take advantage of the meetup because you'll be meeting with a smaller number of students and go to another school's school presentation.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And what about, how are they, are these students have kind of raised their hands and said, I'm interested in this particular school, or are they going by people who've registered on the school's website? Are they going by based on maybe interest expressed in the registration for at the NBA tour, GMAT scores? I mean, how do they know whom to invite even?
Well, that's a great question.
No, not at all.
When a student registers for the NBA tour, my recommendation is that they consider the list of schools that is participating and indicate whether they would like a meetup with them. That is the first point of sorting that a school may do. Another point that would get you some visibility with a program is to tell them that you plan to apply. Now, if you plan to apply to a top 10 school, but a lesser known school, the likely chance of you getting an invitation is very high.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be a good chance for an individual to really get to know the school representative, get to understand what the school is all about, and really determine whether there's a good match between what the school has to offer and what the candidate has to offer. On our website, students are able to create their schedule for the day, and I can't emphasize strong enough how important it is for you to build a schedule and not wait to create your schedule when you arrive and just react to what's there. We are very transparent about who is participating in our events. Each school is listed. The schedule will be posted, and you will be able to put school presentations on your schedule, panels, and also we are offering in selected cities outside the United States, in Latin America and India, there are some schools that have banded together to have private receptions after our weekend events.
Mm-hmm.
And those will be going on in Sao Paulo, Mexico City, Delhi, and Mumbai.
Okay. Now, Is the advantage in making this schedule, is it meaning that the applicant makes sure they make maximum use of the time? Do the schools have access to the schedule so they can see who's interested in their events or panels or whatever? Or is it really just to make sure that the applicants use the time efficiently?
It's both, because okay. If a student schedules a school presentation or requests a meetup, their name will appear in the meetup list. Schools that are making school presentations that have purchased meetup will also be able to see the list of students that are planning to attend their school presentation. They'll also be able to just see the number in general, but so they know roughly the number of candidates will be in the room. And yes, it is very important that you set your schedule and not be casual about just showing up and reacting to what you want to do when you arrive and seeing what other people do. It's important to research schools as you have logically recommended. And before you do that, just bear in mind that the NBA Tour has a lot of information on our website about schools, which is currently being updated by schools. You can also download an application from our website, www.thenbatour.com. Look for information to download the app. And for the event that you're attending, you can download the list of schools that are participating with information about those schools. It's important that candidates do this so that they're not asking questions that are pretty basic and wasting their time asking about what the average GMAT score is or how do I fit into the applicant pool. It's important for candidates to think about themselves as a unique entity applying to a business school and how that business school will meet their needs, future career needs.
I couldn't agree more. I frequently am asked by applicants, you know, I'm in the this and this group. How do I distinguish myself? And the group is a really large one. And I say, you have the same challenge that everybody else applying has. You have to transform yourself into a group of one. an individual.
That's exactly right. Yep.
So I couldn't agree with you more. Now, you've mentioned some things. Obviously, they shouldn't be asking about, you know, the GMATs, but they shouldn't be asking for stuff that can be found very easily on the front, on the first page of the, or the home page of the school's website or the class profile and that kind of stuff. But what? How should they prepare? I mean, should they?
Well, one of the things that schools that purchase Meetup, and at some events, all the schools will have access to Meetup. They will have visibility into this complete registration profile of a candidate. So the first thing I recommend is filling out the profile, your registration profile, completely. And there's a lot of questions about your obvious work experience, who your current employer is, and details on where you live. That's actually threshold stuff to fill out. I think the best information you can pass on to a school is what are you interested in after your MBA? And that's a great point for a starting point for a discussion with an admissions representative. Because to your point, Linda, making yourself a group of one, when you end up considering all the unique combinations of what industry you'd like to work for, what profession you'd like to be in, and what schools can best serve you, you're actually narrowing things down and the market becomes extremely segmented.
Right.
And believe it or not, what schools are most interested in, everybody knows that there are people that can get 650 and above or even 700 above on your GMAT, but what the point is to get their attention, and that is to make it look like you really plan to go to that school or want to apply to that school because of your background and career interests. And that is gold for admissions advisors, because the last thing they want to do is spend time reading an application, accepting a person who has no intention of enrolling that program.
Right, right. The MBA is, and this is again something that I frequently say, the MBA is a bridge between where the applicant or student has been and wants to go. And if they can, obviously your organization helps them see which is the right bridge by providing them with opportunities to meet and learn about the schools. But to the extent that they have a clear idea of where they want to go afterwards, and how a given school can help them, or with specific questions about how they can help them, I think that's really the key. And in terms of describing their own background, if they can be specific about the background, you know, are they, the example again that I frequently give is, are you an engineer, which is a very non-differentiated, non-descriptive kind of label that you're sticking on yourself? Or are you a healthcare engineer who's worked in this and this and this market, or with a focus on pharmaceuticals, or a focus on HMOs, or whatever the case may be? But then you're already distinguishing yourself, and then again the challenge becomes to show how, you know, where you want to go, and then maybe the depending upon how much you know or what you ask at the MBA fair, the school has the opportunity to show how it can be that bridge. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's absolutely true, and it's worthy of mentioning those to an admissions representative, because they will remember you more than the person that is asking basic questions and really demonstrates a level of unpreparedness that turns them off.
Yeah.
And also, I do want to note that all candidates that meet with school representatives, their visit is recorded. When a student meets with a school representative, they'll have a scanner that will read their badge, which means that they've actually met this candidate. And we don't track whether you met the school representative at the meetup or school presentation or at the networking portion of the conference. It doesn't matter. They just know that they met you. And it's important that you get scanned in particular with a school that is interested in meeting with you. There are some schools that don't bother to use the scanners. I won't say who they are, but if they don't scan you, that's a message. Not to you directly. Don't take it personally. It just means that they know they probably get enough applicants.
Hey, they don't need to do that. They're not worried about that stuff. Do you recommend that applicants wear business attire from, you know, men, jackets and ties or suits and ties, and bring business cards and a resume to the fair?
I can't emphasize the resume strong enough. And,
okay.
And in particular, a lot of schools are looking at resumes as part of the meetup invitation process.
Okay.
They look at, obviously, whether you're interested in having a meetup, whether you plan to apply to that program, a resume. Some even look at if you've reported a GMAT score. And they're pretty liberal about the range of GMAT scores they'll meet with candidates on.
Really? Okay.
In general, they are, absolutely.
Okay. So they're really open to a broad spectrum of candidates at this point in the game.
I think so, especially if your experience is unique.
Mm-hmm.
The people that would struggle, that will struggle the most for getting attention, are coming from industries that I would label as career feeders, because you out of that pool of applicants, you're going to have a lot of competition. But people who will do well will be coming from backgrounds that are not as commonly represented in a class. And there are some of those backgrounds are very, very employable. And I think the obvious example are people that are coming out of the military.
Right, for sure. Now, I noticed that the MBA tour has included events for EMBA applicants at some of the tours. Do you have any plans to either expand the EMBA options or part-time options? And do you have any plans to add events or tables for some of the specialized master's programs, like the master's in management, master's in finance, master's in financial engineering, those kinds of programs?
The answer to both questions is yes, with a qualified yes to the first one.
Okay.
In terms of master's affairs, we offer in across India and Beijing and Shanghai and Taipei and New York master's fairs.
Okay.
Where schools are inviting candidates to meet with them if they are using Meetup, or candidates that would not normally have the typical profile for an MBA to meet with school representatives that are representing master's programs. And there'll be one in New York later in July, on July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't have them until we're in Beijing, Shanghai, and Taipei, and then India later in September.
Okay.
And then for EMBA, my answer is qualified, in that many schools will probably who offer those types of programs, and those programs are what I would call a strong component of their recruiting strategy, and those people operate in a common area for recruiting to those EMBA programs. They would probably use them to recruit candidates with a certain profile to certain meetups. We're offering a new capability in Meetup for schools to group candidates into certain candidates with a common profile and tag them to a certain schedule. And if they want to spend the first two or three meetups meeting with candidates to talk about EMBA programs, then that's how they may structure their meetup schedule.
Okay. Now, let's step back a little bit. There are so many virtual options for getting acquainted with schools, or even virtual fairs. There are virtual options for engagement and meeting and learning about the programs. What do you see as the advantages of in-person and real over virtual? Why should an applicant invest time in getting to a fair and participating physically in a fair?
Well, I think in a face-to-face situation, you always have a greater impact, especially if you can demonstrate some chemistry with the person that's meeting with you from the school. I think people need to remember, and we always tell this to schools who ask the same question, why don't we just do online events? Remember, candidates are buying a $100,000 plus product,
right?
Service that's an intangible asset. You need to know what you're buying from. With few exceptions, not every school's brand and what that represents is known. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about specific schools and what they can offer you. I would say the typical thing is this school, you know, is really a marketing school, or this school is really a quantitative and finance school, and this school has very competitive environment in the classroom. And a lot of that comes from leftover information from the past, and a lot of programs have expanded their offerings, and academic focus has broadened. And they've invested in what I would describe as non-traditional areas for them. For example, I never knew until I started to recruit at Kellogg as a management consultant that Kellogg had a transportation program. Never knew that. Never knew that. That it was an operations school as well, and not just, quote-unquote, marketing.
And I found out not long ago that Columbia has a retail program.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. There are those little hidden gems in different schools, and there are also the business school marketplace is a very dynamic and ever changing, rapidly changing, evolving kind of place. So,
exactly, and school representatives are looking for people to take advantage of those programs.
Sure.
That's just not there for the enjoyment of professors. So if you are a retailer and you're really interested in that and you've got some great qualifications, believe it or not, they may find you more interesting than the management consultant out of McKinsey for that very reason, that you may focus on that area and provide better enrichment to the classroom environment.
Right. And just take advantage of a resource that they want to maintain, and they need people to maintain it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, you touched on some mistakes applicants make at fairs or ways that they essentially irritate the school representatives, usually asking superficial questions, speaking superficially in general about their past, not knowing what they want to do in their future, this is my GMAT score. What kind of GMAT score do I need? You know, those kinds of questions. But what, in your mind, other than those things we've already mentioned, unless those are, what are the most egregious mistakes applicants make at events, worse than wasting time, but actually damaging to their admissions chances?
Well, I think I think if you look too casual or act too casual in the encounter with the school representative, and you send that message to them, and that can be anywhere from dressing too casually to not asking direct questions or questions that show or demonstrate that you've done some research, that you're just showing up there unprepared. That is fatal. And of course, rude being rude to other candidates that may be waiting in line to meet with you, meet with a school representative, like cutting in the line or consuming too much time of the school representative, asking too many questions during a school presentation, dominating the meetup so other candidates are not able to get the information they want, just brings negative attention to yourself.
Right. I was once at I think it was the MBA tour event, and I'll never forget this because there were two fellows there, and I want to speak to a particular school representative, but I didn't want to take away from the applicants. I mean, this is for them, not for me. So I was waiting until she finished with all the students. And these two fellows went up with her, and one of them, and they were dressed rather casually, but that wasn't what I found so memorable. I think they were roommates, and one of the fellows asked a question and then got an answer, and the other fellow started asking a question, and the first guy started making fun of his roommate and teasing him and mocking him, basically. And it was... And the fellow tried to ignore it pretty much, but it was so inappropriate and out of place. It's fun, yeah. You can joke around with your friend, but not in a professional situation. Not where you're putting him down. It was just completely inappropriate. And I'm sure that if that admissions officer had his card or had noted his name, then she would have made a note in his file that this guy has some social issues, and you know, poor interpersonal skills or something like that. Not the guy who was being made fun of. He was trying to let it pass and you know, overlook. The guy who was making the inappropriate comments was just shooting himself in the foot. So rudeness doesn't help.
I would agree with you. That is a pretty egregious encounter.
Yes. Now, what trends are you observing? Now, I'm not talking so much about the fair event itself. What trends are you observing in management education that applicants should be very aware of as they prepare to apply and to matriculate in 2015?
Well, a lot of programs are looking at their experiential education opportunities for a particular focus in either industry or profession. They're constantly revising that, and it's actually touches on one of the areas I mentioned earlier about filling out the registration completely and knowing what you might be or most likely be looking at after you graduate. And a lot of the schools are building up these sort of centers, and it's been taking place over the last 10 years, centers of excellence where the professors are getting sort of common research together. And some of it may actually be connections to an industry or a profession that they serve outside their teaching hours. And those are areas where schools are starting to build courses or focus on in the energy area. There's a lot of schools that are looking at that.
Sustainability.
Sustainability has been a very common one across schools. Be careful about mentioning sustainability as your focus. And then when the school representative looks at your profile and finds you want to be in management consulting, be wary of things like that. I will also say that sustainability is probably one of the more difficult professions that industry is recruiting for, and that they're just not that available.
Right. I also would warn applicants against saying they're interested in a particular area, be it sustainability or social entrepreneurship or something along those lines, and there's absolutely no evidence in terms of what they have done in the past.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. And the MBA Tour, to your point about that particular subject, the MBA Tour had a scholarship foundation where we were awarding $20,000 scholarships to candidates that were interested in that, and the schools would propose candidates that actually had nothing in their background, and I had two former executives look at this, look at these applications, and fortunately we would find the one candidate out of 20 or 25 applications that we received. Believe it or not, there might be just one or two that actually had demonstrated something.
Wow. That's not very good. Do you have any last-minute advice for MBA applicants planning to apply this year? What about for applicants planning to apply 1 year from now? Those two separate categories, I realize.
I think that we get candidates in both at both segments, if you
right.
will. Those that are looking to apply now have done their research, and those that are looking out 2 years from now. I think when you come to our events and you are looking, let's say, 2 years out, the questions that you may ask may be a little broader, less directive, but no less important for you to help you decide where you may want to choose to apply. It actually, and when we get into international settings, it's more important that those candidates investigate the regions where they're applying rather than specific schools, because there are commonalities across programs by region. For example, in Europe, you find more 12-month programs
right.
than you do in the U.S. You need to understand what the work rule requirements are or immigration requirements for study in Europe versus the U.S. and Canada, because they're very distinct. And some markets or some regions are much more or have much more favorable work rules for immigrants.
Right. Like Canada?
Like Canada, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So you would advise, what about last-minute advice for MBA applicants applying now?
Now is the time to get your self known to candidates. If you came to one of our events when you were 2 years out, now is the time to make that impact. And again, avoid any superficial questions, but really target your questions about you. And appear with a resume, appear with a business card, and even if you don't submit the resume online, or you do submit it online, hand it to the admissions rep. You'll never know. You'd be surprised how often those resumes end up in the admissions office, and they may reach out to you. And they've also looking at those resumes versus your application, so you want to make sure that you're consistently represented in the application and the resume.
Okay, great. I think our podcast is just about over, Peter. Where can applicants learn more about the MBA Tour, and where can they register to attend an MBA Tour event close to where they live?
On our website for both MBA Tour events and MBA TU events at www.vmbatour.com.
Okay. Peter, thank you so much again for being our guest here today and for sharing your experience and your insights. It's been a wonderful call. I believe and certainly hope that applicants who listen to this podcast and attend the MBA Fair will be better prepared as a result of your comments today. We'll include links in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/61. We'll also link to the resources I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. Check them out. Again, you'll find the links at info.exhibit.com/61. Listener, thank you, too, for tuning in to this, our 61st episode. If you found this episode worthwhile, please share the good word. We have made it really easy for you to do so. Just go to info.exhibit.com/love. There is a pre-populated tweet that you can send to your Twitter followers or copy and paste it into a Facebook or LinkedIn update. Thanks in advance for doing so. And if you have a question you would like answered or you want to provide feedback directly to me, please, you can do so at info.exhibit.com/61 and scroll down to the image with a mic. You can leave an audio message there by clicking on that mic from your computer, tablet, or phone. Alternatively, send an email to questions@exhibit.com. I'll select questions that I think are relevant to our listeners and answer them there. Finally, if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.